I remember many years ago when I was a young man from high school, and I was waiting to go into college. I attended something that would be perhaps compared to what you call the community college here. And I remember meeting, a young lady from India who was also a student at the place that I was studying. And so as we became friends and we started chatting and talking, and she actually told me the real reason why she was in that college. She had actually been studying at a university in India, and her parents decided to cut short her studies and to remove her from the country of India to bring her to Zambia. And so she was telling me the story why they took such a drastic action. And the story was that she had fallen in love with a young man of a lower caste. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the caste system in India. And so this young lady who was of a higher caste had fallen in love with a gentleman of a lower caste, and her parents were absolutely livid. And they were prepared to do everything in their power to stop that kind of relationship from going anywhere. And even if it meant that they were going to stop her from being in university and send her halfway across the world into some third world country, they were prepared to do that. And that's the reason why she was in Zambia and at this sort of community college kind of thing where I met her. She was very, very upset about that whole thing and was very emotional. But, you know, as soon as you sort of got to know her well enough and she trusted you, she was willing to open up to tell you the story. Now, I tell you the story of this young lady because of this caste system, and because of that caste system, they have a group of people who are known as the untouchables. People are not allowed in any way to have any dealings with this group of people who are the untouchables. Our passage this morning reminds us of an individual who had something of that kind of life. And that's the individual that we will be looking at this morning. In Luke and chapter 5, we find that man who was a leper, that man who was suffering from leprosy, and he came to the Lord Jesus. We are told in verse 12, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Now, when we read in the Bible about leprosy, it's not very clear if it's exactly this disease that we today refer to as leprosy. But at any rate, it appears that leprosy in the Bible was a range of skin diseases that we read about, that if you had this disease, the thing about it was that you needed to go to the priest, and that the priest was going to pronounce you clean or unclean. And that was the reason why our brother Josh was reading that passage that fairly confusing in Leviticus. It's trying to explain to you the details of what the priest was meant to do if you had leprosy. And the worst thing that could ever happen if you had leprosy is that because it was regarded as an incurable and a very contagious skin disease, that you were absolutely excluded from the rest of society. You were excluded from your family. You were excluded from your friends. In short, you were completely ostracized from society, physically ostracized, and you lived in a colony of lepers. And this is the kind of individual. And then, apart from that, God had given instructions to his people that if you had leprosy, you were to be easily identified by the kind of clothes that you wore, and that you were to, as if people were coming towards you, that you were obligated to shout, "Unclean, unclean," so that people do not come in contact with you, so that you yourself might not contaminate them. Because if they came in contact with you, they would be regarded as ceremonially unclean, and that there was a whole ritual of things that you were regarded or required to go through before you could be, you know, declared clean and be able to live with the people. That's the kind of story that we meet here. So that when we read here in chapter 5 and verse 12, that the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. What is happening here was absolutely unusual. Because, you see, if you can imagine, if you had this kind of condition that we are reading about of leprosy, not only were you ostracized and kept away from your family, I mean, there was just no way anybody could ever give you a job. So that your life was really a nightmare. Your life was really a living death. In fact, for all those that were lepers like this man, they were actually considered as dead. And the only way to survive was that your family or your friends or relatives would be able to bring food at a pre-arranged place. They would go and leave the food there, and then at some point you yourself would be able to go and pick up that food as soon as you followed all those rules that you were not in contact with anybody. And so this is the kind of person that now comes in contact with the Lord Jesus. And we are told here that while he was in one of the cities, this man came to him. And it would appear that this individual had an advanced form of the disease, because we are told there that he was full of leprosy. His whole body was affected. You can imagine probably all the extremities, like his fingers and toes, perhaps by this time were affected. If they had not completely fallen off, they were in danger of falling away. So it was such a completely helpless case, a completely hopeless case. This is the individual who meets the Lord Jesus. And we are told that when he saw Jesus, he came and he fell on his face and he begged him and he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And so the thing about this individual is that although he was completely, helpless, completely hopeless, that his condition was such a nightmare in his life, the thing about it is that he had heard about this new rabbi who had come in town. He had heard of this preacher who had come in town called Jesus of Nazareth. Not only had he heard about the fact that he was preaching and teaching, he had heard that he was healing, that he was raising the dead, he was commanding evil spirits to leave, and that the Lord Jesus Christ had been performing all these miracles. Having heard this kind of news, it would appear that this leper was believed the stories that he heard, the report that he heard about the Lord Jesus, and was convinced that this Jesus would be able to help in his situation. He was so convinced that when he came to Jesus, there was no question in his mind as to his ability to heal Jesus. The only thing that he was not sure about is whether Jesus was willing to heal him. And that is what he came and asked. He said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." His was a desperate situation. His was a hopeless situation. And yet, in the face of that hopelessness, in the face of that helplessness, he sees the only hope in Jesus. And he says to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, Luke doesn't tell us, but obviously, what this man did was very bold and courageous. Because you see, he, as we have already said, everything was cast in stone. If you were a leper, I mean, you just did not have a way back into society. So what this man did was very bold. It was very courageous. I mean, it's in our day, it's a bit difficult to imagine this, but probably the nearest thing I could compare it to is what you would do if you heard, for instance, that somebody who had Ebola came here and sat here with us as we gathered for worship. Somebody with a very dangerous and contagious disease. This is the kind of thing that is happening here in Luke and chapter 5. This man is bold and courageous, but he's bold and courageous because he believes his only hope. It's the only hope that he can ever have. It's Jesus. And it is that faith that motivates him so that he is able to, as it were, ignore the norms of society and approach the Lord Jesus and ask the Lord Jesus for help and for mercy. And he tells him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, the second thing that I'd like us to see here is the response of the Lord Jesus. We not only see a man who is desperate, we see, secondly, the response of the Lord Jesus. Now, the response of the Lord Jesus is also quite unusual, given that the Lord Jesus was a Jew, and the Lord Jesus knew the law of Moses, and he submitted himself to the law of Moses. In fact, just after healing this man, what does he tell him? He tells him to observe the law of Moses. He says, "Go and show yourself to the priest to prove that you are no longer to be ostracized." So it's unusual, not just for what the Lord Jesus Christ said, it's unusual because the Lord Jesus Christ stretched out his hand and touched the leper. here is the untouchable. And he comes to the Lord Jesus in his hopeless condition, in his terrible condition, and he pleads with Jesus. He begs the Lord Jesus for mercy. Now, as we very well know, the Lord Jesus could have simply used the word. He could have simply said, "You will be well," and he could have been well. The Lord Jesus Christ stretched out his hand and touched the untouchable man. Now that's very, very important. Because what this is showing us is that the Lord Jesus Christ is full of compassion. That the Lord Jesus Christ cares. That the Lord Jesus Christ was touched by the suffering of this man. But also, I think it's important for us to notice, because we all know it is a law that if something that is clean touches something that is unclean, it's a law, we all know as human beings, that which is clean becomes unclean. I mean, it's the kind of thing that happens every day. Even when you're at home, you are eating with a fork, and the fork, for some reason, slips out of your hand and falls to the floor or to the ground. It may be not you, maybe your kids. Okay? How do you respond? You don't just pick it up and give it back and say, "Continue eating." Okay? I mean, unless maybe you believe in the 3-second rule or something like that, that you know, it didn't stay there for 5 seconds, so it's okay. But usually you want to be more cautious than that, isn't it? You either throw it in the sink and give them a new one, or you go and make sure you clean it before you can give it back or use it. And this is the only exception where that law did not work. Where clean touched unclean, and unclean became clean. The Lord Jesus Christ stretched out his hand and touched that leper. Instead of being unclean, the leper was instantly healed. His entire skin was completely transformed from being one that was full of leprosy to the best skin that any human being could ever have. And so I want to submit to you, beloved friend, this morning, this is one of the most extraordinary miracles the Lord Jesus Christ performed in the days of his flesh. Instantly, this man is made sound, whole, and healthy, and he has a skin that's completely well. I mean, this is one of those things that should always get us angry when we hear all these so-called healers and faith healers and preachers in our own day who claim all sorts of things. You see, here, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just say, "Okay, fine, you're okay, so just go home believing, you'll be okay, as long as you contribute $20 or $100 for our ministry, we'll continue to pray for you." This man was well immediately. There was no argument or to try and convince him that, look, he just believe it, you are well. He was well. And the Lord Jesus Christ told him what our preachers don't tell people. He told him, go and be examined by a priest to prove that you have no leprosy. I wish some of our healers would be so full of faith that they would be able to tell the people they heal, go to the doctor, so the doctor can certify you don't have the disease. You know, the priests in the day in which we are reading were like the healthy officers of society. They were the ones that would examine you and say, yeah, you're okay or you're not okay. You must be ostracized. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ tells this man. Go show yourself to the priest so that the priest can give you a clean bill of health so that there will be no one in society who will want to have you ostracized. You'll be welcomed by your family. You'll be welcomed by your wife if he was married before. You'll be welcomed by your children. You'll be welcomed by all your relatives. There is no reason whatsoever for you to be ostracized at all. The Lord Jesus Christ healed him. Go and show yourself to the priest. Make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. So here is the outstanding miracle of God. That what was clean touched what was unclean, and what was unclean was completely expelled. And this man was made whole instantly before the people. Now, what can we learn from this passage? Well, first and foremost, we learn from this particular passage that the Lord Jesus Christ healed people. I'm talking about physically healing them. He healed people. And that when he healed them, they were completely, absolutely healed. It was not a matter of debate as to whether they were well or not well. But secondly, which is even more important, in the Bible, leprosy, physical leprosy, always stands for a moral problem, a moral disease, which is sin. And we can learn a lot from this passage if we approach it like that. That as human beings, we have a leprosy. It is not physical, it is moral. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ was willing and able to cleanse physically this leper, the Lord Jesus Christ stands ready even today to cleanse us from an even worse form of leprosy, which is a spiritual or a moral disease. We are all born, spiritually speaking, lepers. We are born with leprosy. We are born with a disease called sin. We don't have to train our children to be self-centered, to be selfish. This is just something that they do in spite of themselves. They are self-centered. They are selfish. Why? Because we are all born that way. We are born with leprosy. We are born unclean before God. We are born as those who are unworthy. and who are separated from God. And in time, if we persist in our sin, we will be separated eternally from God because of that spiritual leprosy with which we are born by nature. The scripture tells us, by nature, we are all the children of the wrath of God. This is how we come into this world. We don't come into this world as innocent little children. No, we come into this world with an inclination to sin, with a proclivity for sin, with a preference for what is wrong and forbidden and sinful. We hate the things that God likes, and we like the things that God has said do not do. That is the leprosy with which we are born into this world. And the point of the passage is to instruct us that just as the Lord Jesus was willing, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was able to physically heal this leper of his leprosy, the Lord Jesus Christ is able, the Lord Jesus Christ stands willing even now to deal with our spiritual leprosy. There's only one big difference between our leprosy and this man's leprosy. You see, in the case of this man, he was absolutely convinced he had a problem. And he was begging the Lord Jesus for mercy, for cleansing. Our problem with us is that although we have spiritual leprosy, not many of us are aware, will admit and acknowledge and go to the Lord Jesus to beg him and to say, we have a problem. That is the biggest problem, difference we see between this leper in his leprosy and ours, our spiritual or moral leprosy. And my prayer this morning is that perhaps you will begin to see yourself for the very first time the way God sees you. That God, when he looks at you, how does he see you? Well, the scripture is very clear that when he looks at us, when he looks at you and me, he sees us as those who have spiritual leprosy, who are guilty of rebellion, who have rejected God, who do not care anyway about God and his glory. We care about the things that please us more than anyone or anything else. And my prayer for you this morning is that God might open your eyes, that you might see what a wretched, deplorable condition you are in. If even at this moment you are outside of Jesus Christ, he alone is the one who is able to cleanse you, to forgive you, to pardon you of your spiritual leprosy. But then thirdly, we learn from this particular passage not only that this leprosy is a spiritual metaphor for a far worse leprosy, but we learn from this passage a very important point. This is the very essence of the good news. This is the reason why I am standing before you to preach to you, because of this particular statement. And it is this: Jesus
is willing.
Now, remember, this man was begging. He was not sure which way it was going to go. Maybe the Lord Jesus was going to turn to this man and say, not you, please keep your distance. And he came nonetheless begging and pleading. Only you can help me. And to his utter shock and amazement, the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, I will. I am willing. And he actually touched him. At this particular point, perhaps the man could not even remember the last time anybody had been that close to him or even touched him. That's the point of the gospel. That's the point of the... What's the good news? The good news is that Jesus is willing to pardon and to cleanse you from your sin. That is the good news. But what that good news means is this. That if at the end of the day, you die in your sins, and you go to hell for your sins, the problem is not because Jesus is willing, rather is unwilling. Because the scripture tells us here, he is willing. If you should die and perish in your sin, the problem is yours alone. The problem is because you are not willing to acknowledge your leprosy before God and to plead for pardon, to plead for mercy, to ask for cleansing from him. He is willing. And to prove the point, he not only healed this man, but at the appropriate hour, he actually went and submitted himself to die on the cross like a common criminal and to suffer the punishment that your leprosy deserves. And God turned his back on him when he cried out on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is because in that moment, he took upon himself the punishment that belongs to you because of your leprosy. So if you should die, if you should perish, if you should go to hell, after having heard this good news, I want to say to you, my friends, the blood will be upon your own head. Because the Lord Jesus is willing. The Lord Jesus is able to cleanse you from your spiritual leprosy and to make you his child, to give you a brand new start in life. If you should perish, if you should be punished for eternity because of your sin, it is not because the Lord Jesus was unwilling. He is willing. He is willing. And he says to this man, I will. Much to the shock and consternation of those that were onlookers in that day, he said to the man, I will be clean. I want to say to you this morning, my friend, the same Jesus comes to you with the same good news that if you will acknowledge your spiritual leprosy, if you will acknowledge you have offended God, if you have acknowledged that you have fallen short of his glory, if you will acknowledge that you have deeply strayed away from God, but that now you are returning to him and acknowledging your sin and asking for pardon and cleansing from him. Just like this man who was cleansed, the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse you. I like what Spurgeon said. It is your sin, not your righteousness, that fits you for Christ. It is your disease that fits you to go and see a doctor, not your health. He came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you can see in yourself that you are that sinner, you have that leprosy, yes, then you are the candidate for whom Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died on that cross. Finally, if in your conscience there is something that is bothering you, there is a sin that you have committed that constantly bothers you, perhaps it's something that you committed years ago, but it has continued to haunt you and to follow you like your own shadow, I want to say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ stands willing and able to cleanse you from that sin, to forgive that sin, and to welcome you into his fold. But Jesus Christ alone is the answer to the cry of your conscience. But Jesus Christ alone and his shed blood is the one who is able to pacify and to quieten that conscience that keeps accusing you because of what you have done. That there is no salvation anywhere else except in that bloodied Savior, that crucified Redeemer, that suffering Son of God who went to the cross and paid the ultimate price with his own life. He laid down his life because of our sin. Whatever sin might be that is a bother to you, bring it to Jesus. Jesus will pardon and cleanse, and he will remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. And so, my friends, this morning, we might not be many, but I bring to you very great news, glorious news, good news. And the good news is this: Jesus is willing, Jesus is able to forgive your spiritual leprosy. That's the good news. That's the point of this passage. And that's the reason why we are gathered here as a church. Because a Savior has died in order to bring us back to God. Let's pray together. Our Father, once again, we can never truly thank you enough for sending your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, who left the glory of heaven to come into this old sinful world in order to rescue us from our spiritual leprosy. And we thank you that he did not rest. He did not stop only by physically healing this leper about whom we have been reading this morning, but that then he went to the cross, that he submitted himself to death, and death as a criminal, in order to take to himself the anger of God against our sin, so that guilty sinners like us, who are full of leprosy, might find pardon and cleansing in his name. We are grateful for this good news, and we ask that you might grant us grace, not only to hear it, but to believe it, each one, and to the salvation of our own souls. Because we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.